Psalm 103, and we're going to start with verse 1 to 13. Here we go, Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Okay, we'll now turn over to Romans. And yes, it is Romans 8. And just the first two verses. So Romans 8, just 1 to 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death.
Well, one of the convictions that Christians have is that the Bible, this book, the Bible is God's word. It's utterly, completely God's word to us. But it doesn't mean, though, we don't have go-to passages. We do. We have go-to passages for all sorts of reasons. My dad these days, he's in a nursing home. He's non-verbal. He has well-advanced dementia. Every time I visit him, I just go to the same go-to because I just figure, well, if I just go to the same one, this one might actually cut through for his understanding and his faith. It's the go-to of John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's my go-to as I speak to my dad. Now, starting today and in our growth groups this week, and I just a reminder about our guidebooks, and if you don't have one, it's please do grab one on the way out today. Lots of good stuff in there. But we are doing this series, Romans 8, God is for us. And this chapter perhaps offers to us the most richest vein of go-tos in all the Bible. So over this term, we're going to mine it for all it's worth. Romans 8 has just been this precious part of the Bible for Christians for thousands of years. Words like, there is no, therefore there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We've received the spirit of adoption by which we call out Abba, Father. We know that in all things God works for those who love him. Who can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Romans 8, from no condemnation to no separation, has been this precious part of God's word for good reason. And I hope by working our way through this chapter over this term, we might even more treasure these well-known go-tos, but also we might come to love sort of the bits in between, the parts of Romans 8 that I think for us might be less well known. So we have the first two verses that we're going to look at today. These are the words of the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Rome, but it's also God's word to us. And it says there, in your Bibles, but we've got it on the screen today as well, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. But let's start with that first word, therefore. You know, whenever you see that word, good Bible reading means we should ask the question, what is the therefore doing? What is the therefore looking back to? What is the therefore there for? It's really a question about context. Context is key. And there's the immediate context of the verses just before and the chapter just before. Have a look there, see what you notice. But in some ways too, we should understand the context as all that's come before, from Romans 1 to Romans 7. And a good challenge, I reckon, for us would be to actually read Romans 1 to 7 before Growth Group this week. But one of the things that Romans has established in these earlier chapters is that all humanity, every man, every woman, every child, is plagued by, captured by, controlled by, has this imminent this inherent trait that we're sinners. That we are sinners, rebels, before a holy and just, righteous God. And here are some I'll just read out some quotes from Romans 1 to 7, like 1 to 18, 1 verse 18, where it says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth." Or chapter 3, verse 10, "There is no one righteous, not even one." Or chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But I also point you to Romans chapter 5. And this is the part of Romans about our physical, spiritual ancestor, Adam. And from that one man means that, as in Adam, we face death and condemnation. It says there, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned." And then further down, verse 16, "Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's," that's Adam's, "sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift," and that's the gift of Jesus, "followed many trespasses and brought justification." So just to say, Romans is establishing our shared humanity. It's establishing our feeble, weak, fallen human will is to rebel against God. So the human state of being, our future, is to be under the condemnation from God. We need to see that without intervention, this is our shared state of being, our human condition. This is the lot of Adam's people. You know, there are lots of things that make us human together, right? Lots of things that make us human, similar. You know, we all put leftovers in the fridge with no expectation we'll actually ever eat it again. You know, we put music on shuffle and we skip to the next song anyway. We send off an email, but we want to read it again, what we just read. We put together IKEA furniture and feel the need to keep the Allen key. We've watched Star Wars at least once, and who hasn't tried to move something with their mind? Am I right? This is all of us. This is what we're like, the human condition. But the human condition flowing from the one man, Adam, is we sin. The godlessness, the wickedness of humanity. You know, left to ourselves, we're under God's right and just condemnation. That's what the therefore of chapter 8, verse 1 is looking back to. But what does it go on to say? "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus." You know, to move from condemnation to now no condemnation is God's gift for those who believe in Jesus, are in Jesus. And it's the reality of, well, what that verses 3 and 4 spells out that we're going to look at next week. That's next week. But think law court. That Jesus has delivered believers from the just penalty our sin deserves, that our sins would exact. And it's easy to miss how amazing, how incredible this is. I mean, I didn't get the fullness of this when I first became a Christian. Notice the language of this verse. It's not, you believe in Jesus, so you're not condemned. It's more strong than that. It's more intense than that. It's there's now no condemnation. No condemnation forever. So God, who stands as our judge, but with nothing against us, he finds no fault in us. because of Jesus, God finds nothing to punish us for. Condemnation from God does not exist for believers in Christ. You know that sin that keeps tripping you up? Now no condemnation. Regrets about a marriage? Now no condemnation. What you posted on social media? Now no condemnation. You know, feelings of guilt about parenting and your kids? Now no condemnation. You know, Christians, we tend to think no condemnation is a kind of temporary thing. You know, so we've asked God for forgiveness, and then because our conscience nags at us, we have to keep asking God to forgive us. But like the psalm that we read before, it says in Jesus, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. That means not only has God forgiven us of our past and our present, even our future cannot bring us under God's condemnation. For believers in Jesus, condemnation does not exist. None, zero, no more. You know, in our Western culture, people tend to think of Christianity as restrictive and harsh and judgmental. But you look at this verse, I mean, they have got the wrong end of the stick, don't they? In fact, while our culture is awash in judgmentalism and outrage and cancelling, we live the life of now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. How good is that? And that's why we have this mission and prayer, to see a flood of lifelong disciples across the north edge of Brisbane and beyond. We want more people to have this as their reality in Christ, that there's now no condemnation. You know, what about all these people that are underreached? What would it mean for us to better reach those with the gospel? And for those who got to fill in the survey, I'm looking forward to hear what you have to say. But before we move on, let's spend a moment thinking about the trouble and stress we face as Christians when we forget that there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I put it like this. What are the parts of your life where we really seem to always have this need to prove ourselves? Or you're worried about how people think of you? I mean, who hasn't gone away from a conversation and thought to themselves, why did I say that? Or they looked sort of weird at me. What's wrong with me? Or how sensitive are you to criticism? You know, you find when you get criticised, you know, you just have to go on the defence or the offence. Either criticism crushes you or you just have to go on the attack. See, to actually know there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus, this is immensely practical for actually the Christian life. This truth actually helps us with our anxieties and our worries and criticism and our sense of unworthiness, to really know that there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. It's an immensely stabilizing, peace-giving thing. Helps us in our prayer life, helps us to worship our Lord Jesus. You know, in the list of Romans 8 go-to verses, Romans 8 verse 1 is right on the top of the list. It's worth memorizing. It's a banger of a verse in a banger of a chapter. You know, as you head to that job interview, you can say to yourself, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. As you have to head to that disciplinary chat at work, you can say to yourself, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. As you go away from that conversation with that girl who said those words to you, it's not you, it's me, let's just be friends. This is a precious verse to remember. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. This is who we are through faith in Jesus. This is what he's made us to be. It makes a difference. when we know this?
We've just looked at verse 1. Let's have a look at verse 2. It says there, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. Heads up about Romans 8. There is so much in this chapter about the Spirit. Spirit is mentioned 21 times in Romans 8. There's no chapter in the Bible that mentions the Spirit more than this chapter. The Spirit's about once every two verses. And verse 2 is adding to the picture now of no condemnation in Christ Jesus. See, in verse 1, the emphasis is on, I think, the legal courtroom reality that the penalty has now been removed, no condemnation. And now in verse 2, we've been delivered from the power of sin. Notice those words in verse 2. It says there, to be set free. I love singing. We sung a fair bit about freedom this morning. It was great. Verse 2, it says there, to be set free. We've been freed from the curse of the law of sin and death. In Christ, we live in the realm of and the power and the relationship of having God's Spirit in our lives. Again, come back to this view that's pretty common in our culture, that Christianity is restrictive and harsh and judgmental. And so people run away from Christianity, you know, thinking they'll find freedom in lots of other places, but they don't. You know, no one can retail shop their way to freedom. No one can retire their way to freedom. No one can pursue a sexuality to freedom. No one can exercise and diet their way to freedom. It's always false advertising. People always end up as slaves to fears and addictions and anxieties, entrapped in the pursuit for self and the need to please others. Without Jesus and his Spirit that he gives us, humanity is in bondage to sin and death. So I think of those stories we actually heard earlier on, people's stories of coming to faith in Jesus. So good to hear them before, so encouraging to hear their stories. I think of how, well, yeah, it was Craig's story. He mentioned he became a Christian when he heard the book of Romans explained. How good is that? But in the stories we heard, there's also pictures of the Spirit who liberates us to live a new life. Phrases like, given new life by the Holy Spirit, a growing desire to live a life that honors Christ, a desire to be more like Jesus. See, the work of God in those with faith in Jesus is not only the penalty of sin dealt with by Jesus, also the power of sin conquered by the Holy Spirit. So we're just starting on Romans 8. And already, it is so good. It's so good. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I know you couldn't do better than to put your faith in Jesus, to believe in Jesus. Because with Jesus, anything you've done, anything you will do, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. The penalty taken away, never to return, that's worth having. You couldn't do better than putting your faith in Jesus. And so the Christian life is a life to enjoy this freedom. The penalty removed, and by the Holy Spirit who works in us, we've been given the power to live this new life and follow our Lord. I'm really looking forward to actually getting into further and further into Romans 8 with you. But right here, from out of the gate, what a beautiful promise. And I'm now going to pray, and I'm going to pray using these words on the screen, in fact. And it's for the person who's now a Christian, or it's for a person who wants to be. So they're the words, and I'm going to pray, and I encourage you, make those words your words too. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. I believe in him. Thank you that because of Jesus, there is now no condemnation for my past, my present, and my future. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who you send to free me and give me power to live for you. Amen.